Today is Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. We have hit the midpoint of Advent. In just 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating Christmas. Even though we're still in this purple season of preparation and penance, nevertheless, we pause to rejoice. We're halfway there. For that reason, priests today traditionally wear rose, not pink, rose vestments, and the rose, not pink, candle is lit on the Advent wreath. So we are filled with joy, and we ought to be. Isaiah had prophesied that when the Messiah would come, that the plains would exalt, the steppe would blossom, people would rejoice. The Messiah has come, and the Messiah will come again at the end of time. Right now, though, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, we should be mindful Christ is truly present with us. He's with us now at this Mass, not only through the living Word of God, who He is, but also through the Holy Eucharist. So, my brothers and sisters, we ought to pause right now and ask ourselves, do I have this joy? The joy knowing Christ has come, Christ will come again, Christ is with me now. I fear that in our contemporary society, we often get distracted from the real meaning of joy. We often consider joy more like a fleeting kind of happiness. And that can happen, especially around this time of the year. For instance, we are preparing for Christmas, so there's many good things that we do, but they could be distracting. Like we have our decorations. Decorations fill us with joy, but they can also become routine, emotionless after a while. I have a neighbor, Father Farrell and I, and every day after Thanksgiving, you see the Christmas tree come in. The day after Christmas, Christmas tree goes out. And I feel sad, because really it's about Christmas, and Christmas isn't just the one day. It should be celebrated for at least the 12 days until the time of the Epiphany. But it's like, ho-hum, Christmas tree's done, goodbye. Or we think about the Christmas toys and presents and so on. And that's all good, too. But do any of those things really bring lasting joy? Maybe some happiness. If we believe the Mercedes-Benz commercial, we'll all just be ecstatic if we find a Mercedes-Benz in our driveway at Christmas, at least until we receive the bill in the mail or until the thing breaks. Or always this time of the year, we'll just be so joyful if we receive a Chia Pet or maybe one of those clapper things, clap on, clap off. Oh, that's great until your hands break from clapping, trying to get the thing on. And the Chia Pet would be great if it grew some hair, but most likely it's really not going to bring a lot of happiness for a long period of time. I even think of how my little nephew and niece, when they were much younger, like 30 years ago, they had received so many gifts from relatives, and they would just tear through them all so quickly. And at the end of it, it was like, is that all? It's over. And then after a while, some of those toys ended up in the bottom of a toy chest. Some weren't even played with, and some were broken. Then, of course, we might find some fleeting happiness in the festivities, the parties, the social events. But then the next morning, we may wake up with a big headache and a lot of nausea, almost like the Alka-Seltzer commercial routine. So we have to wonder, is that going to be our joy? No. We have to remember, Christ came to give us a lasting joy, an everlasting joy. Nothing in these things, no matter how good they can be, Christ came to give us something more. Ask yourself, too, what if it was all taken away? What if we lost all that, lost all the decorations, the presents, and so on? Would we still have the joy we're called to have this Christmas? Remember the story of the Grinch, one of my favorite stories. So the little Who's in Whoville, they love Christmas, and they had all their decorations and gifts and feasts and so on. But the Grinch, for whatever reason, he hated Christmas. So that Christmas Eve, he decided he would go down to Whoville and steal Christmas. So he took the wreaths and he took the tree, he took the presents and the feast, he took the Who pudding and the roast beast, and he packed it all up to take it up to Mount Crumpet, where he was going to dump it. But before he did, he paused. So as dawn broke and the Whos awoke, he waited and he paused to listen. And he heard a sound. It started low, but it began to grow. And all of a sudden he heard all the Whos singing. And they were singing very merrily. The Grinch realized he hadn't stolen Christmas. Christmas came just the same. But Christmas meant a lot more. Do we have that kind of joy like the little Whos had? But even take it further. Besides all of that that can distract us, St. James warns us against miserable people. You know, some people are miserable. They're joyless, especially around this time of year. St. James mentions that there are those that are the critical ones, negative ones, the complainers, the impatient. What's the problem? Maybe it's all about themselves. They're always looking inward instead of looking outward and seeing the blessings, especially the blessings that Christ has given to us. Of course, there are people that this time of the year will face hard circumstances, maybe the hurts of life that happened even long ago, could be facing suffering, sickness, whatever it is. That too could make someone feel rather joyless. And yet doesn't Christ offer us a different vision? A vision that goes beyond this life to everlasting life? This life isn't it, after all. Our hearts should be set on heaven. So my brothers and sisters, we have to look at our lives and ask ourselves, are we really preparing for Christ coming again? And do we have the joyful heart that we're called to have, knowing He has come. He will come again. He'll be present right now, especially this Christmas. Joy, the real joy, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, which means then it comes from a gift that Christ has given to us, a gift given in our baptism. First, a gift of faith, in that we believe that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus came to perfectly reveal God's truth, God's love. Jesus came to forgive our sins and to open the gates of heaven through His resurrection and offer us everlasting life. Jesus gave us the gift of hope so that we can always know we can rely on His grace to help us every moment. We can rely on forgiveness of sin when we're truly repentant, and we can rely on a promise of everlasting life. Jesus came to give us the gift of love, real love, the love that only God can give, for God is love. How wonderful it is to know Christ wants to share His life with us and walk with us each day like that good shepherd, holding us by the hand, and eventually leading us to heaven. This is why we have joy, because of the gifts we've received, the gift of faith, hope, and love. Nothing that this world can offer, gifts that are everlasting, gifts that will be with us, gifts that let us look beyond ourselves and see in a very optimistic way the blessings that we have, gifts that allow us to see beyond the circumstances of this life and know this is just passing. We're walking through it, and one day we'll arrive at heaven. Isn't this what the prophets foretold? That the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, loosen the tongues of the mute, fortify the legs of the paralyzed and the lame. Yes, the joy helps us to see, to hear, to speak, to walk in the goodness of God. My brothers and sisters, if we wanted a good example, we could think of some of our fellow Christians right now who are facing persecution. I came across an article in one of the magazines I receive. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. It was telling about the Christians who are now in refugee camps in places of Iraq and so on. And this one family gave an interview. Their family had lived in Mosul for centuries. They had been driven out by ISIS. When ISIS came, the option was convert, die, or leave. Well, they fled with very little, but they fled and they arrived in this refugee camp in a home that's a tent, and they've been there for 3 years now. But Abraham, the father, spoke about how despite this circumstance in this Christian refugee camp, because they isolate Christians from Muslims, that there's still little handmade Christmas decorations, sometimes makeshift Christmas trees. One can hear families singing carols together. There's the priest who will have Mass in a tent church. There will be a Christmas pageant of the little children and so on. There will still be joy. And this is what he said. He said, "We will still celebrate Christmas this year. The evil ones cannot take this away. I read to my children the story of Christmas from the Gospel and also the beautiful verse, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, not to condemn the world, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. I teach my children, if you have Jesus, you have all that you need. We will not fear because God will be with us. If Christ suffered for our sake and we look to Christ for our example, it is worth our life so that others can gain life in Christ." Here is real Christian joy, the joy that only comes with Christ. This joy, though, is infectious, because the story went on and told about a man named Ferris, who was a Muslim, who saw this and wanted to know more. So he left his camp, approached Abraham, and started asking about what is Christmas? Who is this Jesus? Well, Ferris says, who became a Christian, was baptized, said, "I remember the day when I found Jesus and was baptized. I think about how my life was before, how it was all a mess. My life really started after I met Abraham, and he introduced me to Christ. Now, my biggest grief is the people around us who have no life because they do not know Jesus." After his baptism, he had to go back to his own camp. He was beaten several times. There was an assassination attempt on his life. His tent was burned. But this is what he said. "Jesus is God. Of course, it's worth it. I feel sorry for everyone who doesn't know Jesus. When people persecute me or talk about me badly, I don't feel sorry for myself. I always feel sorry for them. What attracted me to Jesus in the first place, loving your enemies, forgiving your enemies, and praying for your enemies. I did not find that before." Joy that was communicated to someone else. So ask yourself, do you have the joy that is a gift of Christ, right now? This is the joy we want to have this Christmas. But is this joy made manifest so that it may infect someone else? Think of our gospel. St. John, who baptized our Lord, who knew who he was, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Christ, is in prison. So he may not have seen Jesus for a couple of years now, at least many months. He's in a dungeon. So he probably has heard different things about this man who performs miracles and so on. So yes, in one sense, he sends his disciples to ask that question, "Are you the Messiah?" But I think on the other hand, too, John wants his disciples to encounter Christ. See, it's easy to sort of hear things about Jesus. It's easy to read things. But do we really encounter Christ? And John wanted to send his apostles, his disciples, to encounter Christ so that then they could bear witness to the joy of the gospel. Now, John, as Jesus said, was not some swaying reed that said, oh, do whatever you want to, it doesn't matter what you do, what you believe. He wasn't dressed in fine cloth like some wealthy person that immediately attracts individuals, like some superstar. John was genuine. Well, my brothers and sisters, are we genuine enough, and do we have that joy enough that we will really bear witness to the truth of Christ, to the love of Christ, to show that Christmas is really about Christ, and without Christ, there is no Christmas? There's the challenge this Sunday, and we have 2 weeks to meet the challenge. May we really pray that by the grace of the Holy Eucharist this day, we may go out rejoicing and be those gospel witnesses of the joy of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.